everyone. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Eat, Drink, and Be Merry show. Today's episode focuses on the Les Dames de Coffee International. It's actually an international organization, but we're going to the Phoenix, Arizona chapter. And I'm very excited because this is an organization that celebrates women in the food, beverage, and hospitality industry and women who are giving back to the community. So this is a very cool. I didn't know about the organization, so I'm really glad. You know Diva Linda, food wine shopping diva, Linda Kassam, the food wine travel writer. She's been on our shows for, I can't even count anymore, for years. But she has recently joined this prestigious organization and thought, hey, we've got to do some conversation and some articles about what they are doing, especially in Phoenix, where Linda lives. When it's fall and winter, but today Diva Linda is actually, we finally get to see her on her boat in Alaska. So Diva Linda, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. I'm, do say though, I'm a city girl. This was a fishing trip for my husband. It's almost over. I'm happy. It's all good though. The things I've seen and the things I've heard and things I've done are once in a lifetime things. So happy to be here. Happy to go home.
Okay, but you're in Ketchikan, Alaska?
Ketchikan, Alaska, yes.
Okay, and a marina that could make some honking sounds and some interesting noise.
This is a working marina with huge fishing vessels, just absolutely huge. So they're all going in and out today. I'm not sure what the significance is of that, but often you come in and it's quiet, but not the last 2-3 days. There must be something, some catch that's open to everybody that they're coming and going. So if you hear lots of noise or whatever, it is what it is.
So this is exciting because I know you started an article. We're going to be doing an interview with you once you get back. And I'm excited to hear about your adventures. And it's been fun watching your adventures on social media. You've seen fish eagles. And I mean, the nature part of what you've experienced from what I've seen is incredible. So, but now we're going to take you home to Phoenix, where you live. And I want to introduce everyone to Chef Candy Elesher. Candy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm excited to be a part of it.
And so today you're not actually in Phoenix, actually. I should say you're in Pine Top up in the mountains of Arizona, which I'm excited because a lot of people don't realize Arizona has cool mountains.
They do. And right now they're probably getting ready to push into the hundreds if they're not already there down in Phoenix. But as you could see, I have long sleeves on, which in Arizona in the summertime, you only get that when you're in the mountains. Wow. So we're at about 7,400 elevation and it's in the low 70s and it's beautiful and we're enjoying it.
Awesome. And you're in the kitchen. You can see all this, you know, fresh fruit in the background. She's got knives, so we need to behave. So I think we've got another diva here, Diva Linda. She's got knives.
You know, watch out.
I know. But, you know, today we're actually, I got, you know, for those watching, I've got Phoenix in the background. I got to represent our home state of Arizona, where Nancy and I have our storage unit as we travel the country full time. But we're in swampy Orlando going through monsoon season here. So it kind of reminds me of home having the monsoons. And so, you know, we're melting a little bit, but it's all good. We're going to Texas in a couple hours. So glad we could catch up with you ladies. Very excited about this organization. Reading through Linda's article, everyone, you'll see it in our brand new Eat, Drink, Be Merry magazine coming out well, by August 1st, you'll be able to get it. And, you know, Chef Candy, you've got a wonderful recipe in there teaching us all how to make vegetarian burgers. But let's start with you, Chef Candy, because this is you've been a part of the organization for how many years?
Since 2007. I was well aware of it before then, but in 2007, I was invited to become a member.
Okay, so is this an organization that, you know, a lot of people become members of? How does that process work?
Actually, no, but it's not because we're not inclusive. It's because we have very specific criteria because we ask that a female in the food, beverage, hospitality industry of in some connection has to have 5 years in a leadership position, not just 5 years experience, but 5 years in a you know, it takes time to work your way into that kind of experience. And then current members figure out who, wow, so-and-so has been doing this for this many years, and let's talk to her about if she wants to become a member, and we work it like that. So it's just because it takes time, and you don't have the large percentage of women in the industry yet. We're getting there. We're doing much better, but we still don't have a really huge percentage of the women in the industry in leadership roles. Not as much as we'd like.
Yeah. Well, I think it's changing, just like the film industry is changing as well. Like, so many women are producing films now. We're seeing more on the network. You're seeing more women chefs out there playing, you know, Top Chef, or, you know, what is the Iron Chef? I'm going to get you with my knife. Here we are with the knives again. There's a running theme.
The knives in the background.
Yeah. The knives are in the background. But Diva Linda, I know that Diva Linda's had so much experience of leadership. As she's a past president of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. And Diva Linda, you are the president there for a long time, actually, when I think about it. She's like, I'm still here.
I know, like 8 years or more. I don't remember how many years I was president. I just kept rolling on and on. But there comes a time when you want to do something else and you want to give back, especially to your specific community. And that's what attracted me about once we decided we were actually going to live in Phoenix for at least 6 months a year, then that's what attracted me to this group. And I'd heard about it for many years, especially if you live in Southern California. There's a huge group out there in Orange County and San Diego. And and I had wanted to join them, but as president, you got to focus on what you agreed to do. So anyway, I stopped being president of IFTWA in January. And so then I this popped up on my email, and I thought, you know what, I want to do this. This is really great. And so I'm really looking forward to especially meeting all of the chefs and all of the food and beverage. We already met chocolate people. We've already met especially ice cream people. I mean, these are the things that interest me, and I know that will interest our listeners and our readers. It'll just be it's a great organization to share with everyone.
I love this too, because you have such an extensive background in nonprofit management, teaching helping people become and organizations become nonprofits, and you've held leadership in tourism and in wine country like Temecula and Fallbrook. I mean, it just goes on and on what you've done. So this is kind of that perfect spot. And I remember you announcing, oh, I get to be the member here. And it's like, this was a big deal. And I'm like, well, this is cool. I was going on the website and there's recipes from chefs and you see all these women. And it just feels like such a, looking at everyone's photos, a very welcoming and kind, supportive organization. Chef Candy, would you say that's part of it, is that these are women not only giving back into the food and hospitality and beverage world? Oh, is that Muffin? Little Muffin, the little dog. Everyone, there's Muffin the dog. Oh, look at Muffin. Of course, see, she belongs in the food industry. She's Muffin. For those who are just listening, you've got to have to watch the video now to see Muffin. It seems like it's a supportive network, and also a network, Chef Kenny, where it also can help those women getting into the industry.
That is correct. One of the things that we're very focused on is, as we say, growing our future culinarians, which is a tie into the CCAP group, which is one of our biggest supportive groups that we try to help with and mentor. But we've got a number of different groups that we're very supportive of. We work hard to raise the money that we can help them and give them that leg up that they may not have otherwise had, because there aren't a lot of groups specifically supporting women in the industry. And I would have to say Les Dames de Scoffier International, because we are an international group, is one of the few that really stands out. It actually, the group was begun by Julia Child and Carol Brock. And you can't think of another woman who really rocked the industry like Julia Child. So our roots are very strong in the women breaking those kitchen glass ceilings.
I love this.
Is it possible for you to give an example from our membership, one in the food industry, one in the beverage industry, and one in the hospitality industry?
Well, we've got a number. Okay, beverage industry. We have Kim Hosserud, and she is a mixologist extraordinaire, to the point where there's I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's an international mixologist group, and she's the president of it. And she's in our Phoenix chapter, and she works for very high-end resorts on top of everything else, helping them create their beverage menus. And yet she takes time to reach out to our membership, to the restaurant owners, and said, if anybody needs help revising, upgrading, making a little more contemporary their beverage menu, I will come in and help you gratis. So I got a phone call from one of our members saying, oh my gosh, I've got the president of the International Mixologist coming to my little family restaurant to help us revamp our beverage menu. So not only is she doing it out there, but she's doing it within the group. So that's a mixologist. Hospitality industry. Rebecca Tillman is one of the executive chefs at the Phoenician Resort, which is world renowned. And she is so heavily involved in CCAP. She helps judge the students in their competitions, which we can talk about later. But she helps to judge them and mentor them and grow them. So she's working in creating our future culinarians. Then travel industry, one of our, Denise Bina, creates beautiful travel itineraries for people who want to travel, but they want to do it with a culinary focus. So we've got all these different people, and we've got coffee roasters who travel the world and find some of the best beans and bring them into Phoenix, and they roast them, and they distribute it to some of the finest resorts. We've got just such a huge group of women, and a lot of times in areas you don't normally find them. Women in the roastery business for coffee is not a common thing. So it's a very strong group, and they're all working so hard to not only give back to their industry, but to give back to their fellow members.
Ooh, I love this. Women helping women. That's yes. How we're supposed to be, you know, yes. is supporting each other. And I love the fact that you're talking about also going out into the community and women helping other women in the community. I'm also working with women within the group, but you mentioned students and student contests. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. That's CCAP Arizona. Different states, not all states, but a lot of states here in the U.S. have groups called CCAP, Careers Through Culinary Arts Program. And what it does is it takes students, many of whom are at risk. They're not from wealthy families, and they're in high school, and they want a culinary career. They can't afford to go to a $60,000 culinary arts program. They don't have the equipment at home to work with. There's much that they don't have. Well, through the schools, through the programs at school, we help support the CCAP program with funds, and also with our members that are qualified to go in and help teach the kids, but also to help mentor the teachers. Sometimes the teachers have more they need to learn, but it's a program where they enroll in it and they agree to do the work, and they work hard and they study hard and they do a lot of extra stuff that they don't normally get through their regular programs at school. Mm-hmm. And then they compete. And this competition, it's like you've been through a culinary academy. I mean, they are, mm-hmm. the fact that was a piece of cilantro that has brown on the edges and you chose to garnish with that, you're going to get dinged on that.
Right.
So they're competing, but they're competing for scholarships. Now, some of them are 500 or 1,000, which for a student who's trying to buy books for, you go to a community college, that's a lot of money for them to be able to afford their books. But these scholarships span the gamut. It's not unusual to see a full four-year ride scholarship to Johnson Wales. Unbelievable. Wow. You might have a kid that's come up. We did have one. She had her mom moved her from LA to get her away from the systemic problems in the neighborhood they had. She came, she got enrolled in it. She won a four-year scholarship to Johnson Wales. And now she's an incredible chef out there with all this experience traveling the world. So we get to, again, it's helping through the financial support and mentoring support. These, you know, future culinarians, Eugenia Theodosopoulos, who owns Essence Bakery, which is, I mean, she's been on the cover of so many magazines, right. It's even funny. She created an intern program where these kids that did not win scholarships but worked hard, they just didn't quite, you know, there were five great kids out there competing, and there were only three scholarships they were competing. So you've got two students that are awesome, and she brings them in, and she's helping other restaurants create these paid intern programs so these kids can get their on-the-job experience. They may not get that scholarship, but now they're getting something almost as good. They're getting that on-the-job experience and that real-life experience, because we all know school doesn't always equate into real life.
Yeah.
So we've got, and again, Eugenia, because the DOMS, we have so much that we do ask our DOMS to do. She stepped back. She's a member in good standing, but she's a former DOM. But we've got this beautiful DOM community that's helping these students. And then we've got a lot of other groups that we support too. So it's very exciting to be part of it.
I love that, you know, you're handling all these ways for youth to get involved and to grow. And you're really right. I mean, some students, school isn't their way of taking in information. And Diva Linda, you're an educator. You know that too. It's sometimes they have to have, they're better doing, physically doing.
Isn't it amazing how different children work through school? So you have your visual learners, you have your audio learners, you have your ones that need to really be taught from home. Homeschool is a better option for them, and so forth and so on. So sometimes we don't see a child's potential until they get through the whole junior high and high school experience, their last couple of years in high school, and then on to a program like CCAP or another one. And so I also think that what also drew me to this organization is they have many schools that they go into to teach about where food comes from. That's Jill Smith, I believe, Candy, who does that.
That's the Blue Watermelon Project, yes.
Yes, and I just think, and they have one actually near Maricopa where I live, and I hope to get involved in that when I get back. But can you imagine some children never knowing that tomato doesn't always just come out of a can, or not just in a smoothie, you know, or you know, corn or whatever.
The Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Well, know, maybe not with kids. Sorry.
Well, you never know. But anyway, that's you're right. And thank you for asking that question, because they do such a good job. And I hope, just Candy, just briefly, you can tell us about the Blue Watermelon Project, which I think is just runs hand in hand with CCAP, but in a different way.
It does. Actually, it's starting at even an earlier age. The Blue Watermelon Project was developed and begun by Charlene Badman, when she was a DOM. Charlene, of course, is as highly esteemed because she is a woman who actually won the James Beard Best Chef Southwest Award.
Wow.
In of itself is amazing because it's so incredibly competitive. And on top of that, being a woman and winning it is just unbelievable. But she began this project working with another of our DOMS, Ann Rodart Kaliri. And what they do is they go into the elementary schools and they create these beautiful gardens, and the kids help with the gardens. They help to grow, they watch, they learn about the seeds and how things are grown. They learn the amount of work that goes into it. And then they harvest it, and chefs like Charlene go in and show them how to in a very simplified way, prepare what they have grown and then to eat it. And a lot of them, as you were saying, Linda, they've not eaten fresh, you know, purple carrots from the garden.
Oh,
they,
wow.
they were very, I don't eat green. You know, they'll cross their arms and I don't eat anything green. And by the end of it, they're eating, they're wolfing down kale chips like nobody's business. So it's a wonderful way of changing the culture from the start, using these schools and showing the kids, and they do beautiful things. They give the kids seeds and the kids have the opportunity to grow these things at home in little pots and actually experience real food from a very young age.
I love this. I think it's so huge when kids get out in the garden because they have some ownership over what they've grown. And I think it's so exciting when they get into like the heirloom plants and you know how the beets have different stripes and swirls and you've got purple potatoes and like you're saying, you've got purple carrots and then they're like, wow. And so now you're also eating something very healthy. With your background, because I know that you're also more of a nutritional chef. So you're helping people get their bodies into, I need you to come on the road with us. It's a hard thing, let me tell you. I need you on the road. Can't you, we can fit you in the car. You know, this is something important. And I think it's not just for kids, but to understand those vegetables and how some of these can, I'll tell you what, if you make broccoli look artsy, Nancy might eat her broccoli. I'm just saying. So adults need help too.
That is true.
Another thing that I think is very important is I think sometimes our children, especially those that whose parents haven't chosen to go to college themselves, and they're just sort of thinking about one path, you know, I'm going to work at Taco Bell or I'm going to maybe be a banker or, you know, work in a bank or a gas station or whatever, you know, this opens up their eyes to other career paths. I can work on a farm. I can be a farm. You know, I could be my own farm. I could be a nutritionist. I could do all of this. And I love children to see what nonprofits can do in their lives. And perhaps when they're ready, they can give back as well. You can never start that process too early. I personally didn't even know what a nonprofit was until I put my daughter in Catholic school. And then you quickly learn in kindergarten exactly what you will be doing as a nonprofit parent. So, you know, I had learned about more about that when I was in school.
Yeah, that's really true. Luckily, Nancy put me into volunteer roles since I was a little kid. Now, every wildlife conservation, I was dressed up as a monkey running through the streets to save the monkeys. You know, it's like, I've been a monkey, I've been a cheetah, I've been a penguin. So
no wonder you're on the radio.
Yeah, I know, it's just kind of run out there and, you know, save the penguin. But anyway, but it is really true about giving back and kids really get excited. I love the garden part. I'm hoping, Diva Linda, that you do get involved with that and some kind of article, you know, follow up. You know, we all love gardens, but when kids are involved, I get really excited. Chef Candy, what led you to become a member?
I actually, at the time, was editor-in-chief of Food and Life magazine and awesome. Had created a television show, Food and Life Television, which aired on our local NBC affiliate. And the awesome. Show wasn't about me. It was about our chefs and our local culinary community. And I would take the magazine articles and bring them to life about these different chefs and locations and farms and wonderful manufacturers and producers and put them on the show and bring that article to life. And I just facilitated that. I was the host and exec producer on that. And you can see I'm very shy.
Yeah.
So it was very lovely. And I had been an instructor for 2 decades before that too. So knew a lot of people in the industry already, but I think that kind of pushed it over and I was asked to become a member of the group.
Wow. That's awesome. And so at the same time, getting into nutrition and teaching nutrition and nutritional recipes, but are you a private chef for people or are you helping them kind of learn how to do their own chefing in their own kitchen?
Well, it's I classify it, and unfortunately, I think I kind of coined this phrase, a culinary wellness coach. I help people who have gone to the doctor and I'm just going to use diabetes because that's a very common one. They find out they've got diabetes and they have to completely change everything that they do in their life when it comes to food. They have no idea where to start, how to get there. The doctors give them this stack of paperwork and the nutritionist might give them an hour of talking with them. Well, you can't eat that anymore. You have to do this. What I do is I kind of bridge it. I say, okay, let's figure out what's the one food you don't want to give up. Let's find a substitute for that. Let's figure out what you're eating and how we need to transition that into a healthier diet. And then I help them work their way into a healthier sugar level and a better understanding. But I try to do it from up here, not just from here, but I support them with the recipes for those foods that they don't want to give up. They say, I'm never giving up pizza. And so I help them with recipes that they can prepare at home that actually do help them get away from the pizza. Or if they do have pizza, they have it once every other month now, not four times a week.
Right.
So that's what I do.
That's awesome. I know we have your recipe. Everyone, you can get it on blendradioandtv.com. You also see it in Eat, Drink, Be Merry magazine, the ultimate black bean burger. So, and there's other, her website, her recipe is up on the organization website, which is ldeiphoenix.com. There's five other recipes there from chefs so that you can get into. But this is one of them. And, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, I remember when I went vegan. I'm not vegan anymore, but it was a process that I needed to go through. And, you know, mostly vegetarian, I still eat here and there, but you're always looking for something that alternative. And that recipe says it all. And it's also, it's black beans. It kind of goes with your region too, that recipe.
It does, including it also has sunflower seeds toasted. Ooh, which yummy. Give great texture to the black bean burger, because a lot of times black bean burgers are just mush.
Yeah.
And it also has roasted corn in it, which gives another dimension of flavor and texture. And it has a little bit of feta cheese. So this was a trick I learned from Kenji from Serious Eats. A little bit of feta cheese, which are those little tiny pockets of yummy goodness, cheesy fatness.
Okay, yeah. Fatness we flavor. Always need it. Don't take my cheese away. But it's great that there's recipes on the website and for the organization. So there's other recipes there, but
yes.
How does all of this, I mean, you're doing fundraisers, because I also see on the website, there's an extensive amount of webinars that have been going on too. So is that something just for the members or is it for the general public?
Actually, we have begun, you know, there are some positive things that have come out of the pandemic. We realized we still wanted to engage with the public, but we also wanted to do so in an educational fashion. So what we are starting to do, and we've been kind of experimenting, putting our foot in the pool, so to speak. We just recently did one with Zach's Chocolates, and they're one of the top 10 chocolatiers in the nation. They actually take their chocolate. They don't buy chocolate from Belgium and bring it and form it into pretty little things. They start with the beans that they've sourced from all over the world, the cocoa beans, and they grind and they conch and they do everything right there in their facility in Scottsdale and create the most incredibly beautiful chocolates with no added anything into them.
Nice.
They've got a white chocolate that's three ingredients. Right. I know. It's incredible. So what we had them do was do a Zoom webinar, walking us through, giving us the education. But before that, they sent everybody, you would purchase for $45 your entry. They would send you the box with all the different samples. So you're sampling. He'll say, okay, let's try that white chocolate. Now, let me explain to you the process we use. And as you're tasting it, he's walking you through the process. So it's very educational. And yet it is one of those things where you wish you had smell-o-vision or taste-o-vision, you have it because he sent the samples out. We're going to be doing the same thing with Kim Hosserud, the mixologist I talked to you about. She's going to do her bee's knees because she uses the different varietal honeys which lend different flavors to her cordials and the beverages she creates. We're going to be doing that in the spring, where we'll have a, it's a fundraiser, but it's also an educational opportunity for people who want to learn more about honey and how they can utilize it. So these are wonderful little educational webinars, and that's our smaller ways of creating, you know, the funding, because you don't have enough time, I don't think, for me to go through all the incredible groups that we try to help fund partially through our scholarships and gifts. But our big one, of course, is for CCAP, with CCAP, and that's the Harvest Moon.
Oh, I love this. Diva, Linda, Harvest Moon, you were telling me, I know we're going to do more on this down the road, but this, are you getting involved in putting this event together?
Well, because, you know, I'm out here on this fishing expedition for the summer, not as much as I'd like, but I was able to give a bunch of brand new cookbooks to the group for little gifties. So, you know, I review all these cookbooks. I review a ton of cookbooks a year, and I've been stacking them. So I was able to give about 30 of those cookbooks, brand new, one each, so, you know, not seven of one kind. I was able to do that. I'm able to do this, which is to introduce this wonderful organization, and later the actual, we'll have an actual event coordinator come on and talk a lot more about the event. So that will be my my help this year, and we'll see what I can do again next year. I'm better at helping once I understand how an event goes. I can see it on paper, but and as you know, how many events have I ever done in my life? About 3,000. The only one I've never done is a circus. Do not get any ideas on that, Candy. I'm not doing a circus. But anyway,
Nancy and I used to be clowns for nonprofits.
Yeah. There you go. You go. Oh, I'm going to keep that in mind. So anyway, that will be my give. And I've already purchased my VIP tickets to it, and really looking forward to it. As everything that, you know, I love, it's an event. It's a local event. B, which I think is just fabulous. It supports some wonderful, wonderful things in our community. And it's got food, wine, and it's at a wonderful restaurant that everybody loves. So looking forward to this. I think it's going to be wonderful. And I think it's our biggest fundraiser, if I'm not incorrect, Candy. And it makes into the thousands of dollars. Am I correct?
That is correct. And I will tell you, one of the things you'll enjoy the most about the event is as you go to each station is manned by a school and their team of CCAP students who have created these dishes and these beautiful small plates. And the excitement on the kids is you ask them questions. Well, tell me a little more about the teperi beans that you used. And one of them will say, oh, you know, my family is from Sacaton and they're part of Ramona Farms and they're helping to grow these teperi beans. And the excitement for the kids to have helped to do this and be a part of the fundraiser, not just benefit, but actually participate, is
that's awesome.
Wonderful.
This is so exciting. I love this. I want to be one. I want to be one of the kids.
can we say when the event's going to be, Candy, and the time, and the date, the place?
Yes. Hold on. Let me see.
I have it here. Number one, go to ldeiphoenix.com. And this is happening in October. And that... Yes. And, you know, just because I found it. Oh, here it is. I lost it. It is October 20th, 2021. So this year, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., obviously Arizona time. So it's like a block party. And again, yes. The website is ldeiphoenix.com. And, you know, go on the website. It's really cool. And while you're there, don't forget to keep up with Chef Candy Lesher. Just go to yourkitchenrx.com. And you can also keep up with Diva Linda on her website, allingoodtaste.info. Did I get everybody's websites? I think we got them there.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Good. Awesome. So yeah, October is the time to go and you know, obviously you're going to want to get tickets beforehand, right? Chef Candy is
yes, actually right now there's a special on the tickets. As of August 1st, you'll be paying full time. Or full price, but right now there's a little early bird discount. So you'll want to take advantage of that.
Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us. It has been a real pleasure. Before
this
you go,
this has been fun.
This has been fun. Next time, let's just do it in Phoenix. Come on, see you guys in Phoenix.
Might as well.
I know. So one thing about Phoenix, Arizona, because I know, Diva Linda, you've been there a little, you know, you're still kind of new there, but I know, you've traveled there quite a bit. But for each of you, when you think about, we're leaving, well, the dog days of summer are about to really get us. So depending on where we are, but let's think about fall and fall in Phoenix and where you would go to, what are you going to eat, drink to be merry in Phoenix in the fall season?
So Linda?
Oh, Linda. Okay. So I think that I love Mexican food.
Here we go. That and pickles.
Yeah, and pickles. So I have been discovering the wealth of Mexican food restaurants in the area that I live in. And so really above and beyond anything else, that's what I'll be doing. And I love Mexican food. And I love the new drinks. I think they've always been, they've always been part of the Mexican landscape, but I don't know if you've ever seen these. Yeah, have you ever seen
Aguas Frescas and Paletas?
Yes, yes. I'm reviewing this book. This is one also that I'll be giving over to the event so that they can give out to somebody else who might enjoy a new cookbook. And anyway, these Agua Frescas.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them. They're wonderful. So that's what I'll be eating. And of course, margaritas and sangria.
Oh my gosh, I want hibiscus juice now.
And I have to say, that ice cream place, Candy, help me with the name of our member.
Sweet Republic.
Sweet Republic. Oh, you know, it's so hard to be somebody new in a neighborhood. I'm so used to being known everybody in my neighborhood. It's a little hard when you can't remember names. But anyway, call out to them for the most wonderful ice creams in the world.
I absolutely agree.
And I'm going to see that.
Interesting thing, Helen Jung is a Dom. She started with a food truck, ice cream food truck, and now she's got 3 brick and mortar locations.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. Go, girl. I know. I love that. How do they make fried ice cream? I'm still dying to know. There's this fabulous restaurant that I love, and it's not Phoenix, but it's on the outskirts. Casa Grande is kind of on the outskirts.
Yeah.
Okay. Eva's, or maybe they pronounce it Ava's. And there's 2 locations. And every time I have been there, I have had some of the best Mexican food on the planet. And the fried ice cream, oh my gosh. No. I'm really, how am I going to drive to Texas? Well, Texas has, they have good Mexican food. I need fried ice cream now. I just wonder how the heck they do that. How do they manage?
Do you really want to know?
I do.
Okay, well, basically they ball the ice cream up and they have to really super hard freeze it. Then they do a real quick dip in a batter, and then they usually roll it into crushed cornflakes, drop it very quickly in the hot oil, and that's that crunchy corn flavor on the outside. And they serve it often with chocolate sauce, but I like it better when they do it with dulce de leche, which is a homemade Mexican caramel.
Oh my gosh. That's it. I'm coming home.
I'm visiting it for you. I'm going to wait. That's one of the first things I'm going to do. You can also do tea in Phoenix. Not in Phoenix, but in Scottsdale at the Phoenician. That is a wonderful fall treat.
Yes. If I might recommend to both of you ladies, if you haven't experienced it before, very often, even in the fall, we're very hot during the day. But the mornings are stunning. And for an incredible treat, go to the farm at South Mountain, to the Morning Glory Cafe, which is all outdoor seating. There's no indoor. It is the most lovely morning dining experience. Pat Cristofolo, again, another one of our incredibly famous Doms who, because of the pandemic, had to step away because, as you know, many of our Doms had to refocus their business and really recreate them. But her Morning Glory Cafe is such a joy to go to. So please treat yourself, to a morning breakfast at Morning Glory Cafe.
You know what, Diva Linda? I'm just sensing a little feature here of the women that had to refocus and revamp their business. I'm just saying it would be a really cool.
That's a really good article story
about, you know what I mean? And especially for our business magazine, our Success Express, because success stories come through change. You know, negative things happen and it's how we get through them, because you have to go through them to get on the other side and correct, revamp and change. And sometimes businesses find something completely new, or they, you know, it's like, oh, wow, why didn't I do this from the beginning? Maybe the time just wasn't right. So, you know, we found these stories as we're traveling that, oh, my gosh, people started a new business or, you know, just worked in a different way. So I find it really fascinating about what's going on now. For those who did lose their business, I feel terrible that that has happened, because small business is not easy. Restaurants are one of the hardest things to do in the planet, and to keep your margin. You know, there's such a thin margin. And I think that's one thing COVID taught us all. It was just how hard it is to own and manage and run a restaurant and keep it solvent and to keep the employees paid and happy and healthy. So it's important that we frequent them as best we can, you know, and support them as much as we can. But watch for those changes. I think it's going to be exciting. This
I future think Candy year. Can help me, can help point me to three people that I could go interview. Now I can bring them on the show.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? Article show. I love it.
See, see, this is what happens when women get together. But we're not done with Chef Candy. Where are you going for your Eat, Drink, Be Merry moment?
Boy, if I had to choose, I got to tell you, and it's not just because she's a, you know, was a dom, but Charlene Bodman, her restaurant is F&B. It's small. But I think that's the charm of it. The menu's small, but when you go there, it's just off the charts. Farm to table has become such a cliche, but I watch her live it. I mean, she just really lives it and brings, she's called the vegetable whisperer for a reason. She interned under Deborah Madison in New York, who is the guru of vegetables, and Charlene internalized that and brought it to Phoenix and has just done an incredible job with her restaurant. And even though she does serve meat and her lamb is off the charts, I'm just saying, but still it's her vegetable dishes that continually amaze me.
And what's the name of the restaurant?
F&B, F&B, food and beverage, F&B. That's where I'm going.
I really love what you've brought up about Phoenix and the agricultural farm aspect, because, you know, we've lived in the desert in Tucson and in all around Tucson and in Southern California desert too, outside Joshua Tree National Park. And people always just like, oh, you can't grow anything. And I'm like, oh, yes, you can. I mean, even look at Yuma, Arizona, right? And so when you look at what you can do, and we had a prolific fruit, vegetable, and flower garden when we lived out in the desert. And it was incredible what you can grow diligently. And I think it's something that Arizona, like when we started the show talking about, you're in Pine Top and you're wearing, you know, a long sleeve shirt, I'm jealous. But you know, people don't realize Arizona has those places, and we're not just a big blanket of sand with Gumby cactus.
Correct.
You know, so yeah, I've got to call them Gumby cactus. But this has been such a delightful conversation. Everyone, again, the website is for the Les Dames Descoffiers. Did I do it right?
Get there. Les Dames Descoffiers. You did excellent.
Les Dames Descoffiers is ldeiphoenix.com. And of course, go get those tickets as fast as you can if you're out in the area or traveling in the region. And also go to yourkitchenrx.com to keep up with Chef Candy Lesher, and follow the diva on her boats, and just go to allingoodtaste.info. And thank you all for joining us. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Now behave, ladies. Don't do it at all. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.